Hallelujah. John 15, 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. I have made known to you certain things, and I no longer call you friends. This month is our friendship month, and Jesus is saying, I no longer call you servants. I no longer call you servants, because a servant has no clue what the father does. A servant has no clue about his master's business. When you have someone living with you, right, what you find is that in those days people have servants living with them. You don't share your business with the servant. You share your business with your sons, right? Now, Jesus had these people working with him, and then he said, look, I no longer call you servants. Once upon a time, you had no clue what I was doing. All you know is how I do things. You don't know how I do things. All you see is the effect, the result. But we are friends now. In other words, I don't have a problem being associated with you. You know what we say? We say, show me your friends and I will show you who you are. Show me your friends and I will show you who you are. You know, generally, they say that if you show me your friends and your friends are crooks and criminals, I don't need to ask whether you are a crook or a criminal. Because the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? So you may say, oh, no, I'm not into what they do. I don't believe in what they do. We just hang out. Lies. There's no such thing as just hang out. You have been in, and people do that. People do that. They go, oh, well, no, yeah, that's just his opinion. Oh, no, that's just her opinion. Oh, it doesn't matter. We just hang out. There's no such thing as just hang out. Okay? And so it means that whether you believe it or not, you will be influenced by your immediate association. That's why you have to be very careful who you hang out with, whether in church or outside church. More so in church. Right? So, now, Jesus, he says something here, and I don't have a problem being associated with you. You are my friends now. I have shown you the heart of the Father. And I won't be ashamed if you say, well, no, listen, Jesus is my friend. And I won't be ashamed of you to my Heavenly Father. And now for us to be, there's a hum going on. Now, for Jesus not to be ashamed of us, and for us not to bring shame to that friendship, we have to have certain guidelines for living. If it's that comfortable, we've got to have certain guidelines for living. And that is very, very important. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And that is what, and if you follow those guidelines, right, you will become a successful person. So there's a guideline and a principle for successful living. And so Jesus is saying, you are no longer servant. You're my friends now. You're my friends. And when people come to you and say, is that your friend? Oh, yeah, I know him. And then the same thing. In other words, you and I, there's something that binds us together. There's something common. We have a commonality. There's a flow between us. We gel. Like, we all gel. You gel with your friends. How many of you have good friends? Yeah. You know, when you are with your friends, you hang out with them. You are comfortable around them. You share the same values, hopefully. You share the same value, and I hope so. Praise the Lord. And so let us look at the things. Let us look at certain things certain guidelines that will help us live successfully. Now, talking about guidelines, we draw our guidelines from majorly through three areas. Right? First, we draw our guidelines from our family. Our family is the first, our parents. Our home, the home you come from, the type of home you come from is your first school. Whatever you are today, unless it's well doctored, your first school that's the reason why we do background check. Yeah, you know, if you want to marry someone, make sure you check the background. Check the background. Yeah? Make sure you check the background. And make sure the back is not on the ground. I'm telling you. You check the background. If you want to take a loan, they say, we'll check your background. So there's what they call background check, just in case. Part of security check. So your family is your first home. That's your first. A lot of people, their reaction, their perspective is based on their first background, which is their family. If you're five, you come from a home where daddy is violent. 90% of the time as a man, you will be violent. Because think about it. That's your first school. Your first school. And all you know is a man backing at somebody else. Unless Jesus really goes in and does some miracles, you will still be manifesting those traits. If you are from a home as a woman and your mom is, you know, can give her peace, give the peace of her mind to her dad. And that's what you've always seen as a young girl growing up. My friend, unless Jesus does some surgical work, you will always be very lippy. Like a razor. You know? You just talk until the man goes somewhere and bang his head on the wall. You can talk him and make him suicidal. Because that is what you've seen. That's what you've seen mommy do. So most people draw their background from that. And listen, this is very, very important, because also sometimes some Christians, though they are married, right, their parents still rule their homes. Because that feels like something can be like a yoke. Yeah, I will let you go, but I still hope the rope. Where are you guys going today? We are going to. I don't think you should go. Mommy tells the son. Then the son gets home. Honey, are we ready to go? He won't say mommy said. Oh, he won't say mommy said. No. I've been having a change of mind about. I don't know. I just feel slightly uncomfortable about this. Why now? But we planned this, darling. We planned this. We've been looking forward to this trip. And then, I don't know how I'm feeling. That is mommy. You are feeling mommy. You are feeling mommy. The boy is not feeling nothing. His guideline is from mommy. Though he has beards, he has mustache, everything. It's a lie. Mommy is remoting that whole thing. It's mommy. Mommy is the one at the back. Mommy is the one doing that. So men, if you are still there, don't fake anything. Just say, mommy said I shouldn't go. I want to go, but mommy said I shouldn't go. Mommy said I shouldn't go. That's why you have to do a background check. You have to do a background check. You know how to have mommy's boy problem. That's mommy's boy's problem, you know. Yeah. What about the women? My daughter. What my eyes have seen in this marriage. It won't happen to you in Jesus' name. Keep your money, yo. Keep your money. Keep your money. The man is the head of the home. So make him pay for everything. If you are earning £100, tell him it's £25. And be keeping money aside for yourself, little by little. It's not everything. All this love. Yeah. I have been married for many years. Take the advice of your mother. We don't use all of our mouth to speak. Guidelines. Many Christians, their guidelines is still from their home. Though they are married. It's like driving a car with a rearview mirror. Why? Is it really bad? Not that it's bad. Because it's a comfort zone. I mean, come on. You grew up in that home. You were born into that home. That's your natural default environment. If you don't know what to do, you come back to a default setting. Every man has a default setting. And your default setting is your home. But unfortunately, most default setting is a home of violence, a home of abuse. So that's why they say, hurting people hurt others. When they come to their default environment, default situation, they will hurt people. Most of them don't even know they hurt people. You know, most people who hurt other people don't even know they are hurting other people. Because to them, they are numb to that now. So that's the first option where people get their guidelines from. The second area people get their guidelines from is from their friends. From their friends. Even as Christians, what they do is take advice from their friends. They never consult the word. They take advice from their friends. What do you think? How long have you been married? He said, I've been married for 15 years. Ah, really? So how is it going? How are you handling your wife? He said, my wife. I'm handling her? Really? This is what my wife told me the other day. Your wife said that? Ah, no. In my house? No. It doesn't happen here. I laid down the law in my house. She can't talk to me like that. I will tell her who is the man in the house. I say, really? I say, yeah, I laid down the law. Okay. So I should go home and lay down the law. Lay down the law. Are you not a man? It will go. He tries and lay down the law. The man who has never physically abused his wife before, all of a sudden start doing the things he never used to do because he sought advice from his friend. But unbeknownst to him, his friend is borrowing the advice from his father, who is probably from an abusive man. Do you understand? Then the third area where we get, if it's the woman, he say, my friend, look, I've been married for years. I have experience. There are some things I do, I just will not let my husband know. He shouldn't know everything now. Should he? No. Say, really? Say, yes. You have to have a little me time. Waste your time. So have a little me time. But keep some things to yourself. Some things have to be within you alone and to you. We are women. So, really? Say, yes. So how do you guys run your finances? They say, we have a joint account. We have separate accounts. In fact, even the children are separate. And they take that advice. You plug into your own family. And then your husband comes and says, darling, I've just been thinking, maybe we should manage the church. I said, manage our finances in a better way. Darling. And then I said, yeah, I agree. It would be nice if we have this account and that account. And the block is wondering, since when? Why are you? Yeah, I think it's better. She will never say, my friend said. Guidelines from friends. You see, I always tell our church members, tell this church, right? That we all came here as patients. You hear my story where I say all the time, that many years ago, when people come to tell me that, if you see what this brother did, I say, forgive him. If you two have seen him last year, that he's even better now. So I'm sure by next year, he will be a lot better than this year. So give him, cut him some slack. I always say, because we are all patients. A patient does not ask a patient what to do. Dr. Dio. Does a patient ask a patient? He said, we do that. He said, I am having this headache. He said, where? He said, right here. This forehead. Say, here. Have you taken paracetamol? He said, He said, yes, I tried that. Which one? He said, Boots. Boots is not strong enough. You should go and take the one with caffeine, 500 milligrams. Say, really? Okay. You to carry your head. Walk to a chemist. Recommended by a friend. Can I have 500 milligrams there? Say, plus caffeine. Where did your hairstyle? I like it. We are in the business of recommending things to people. Where did your hairstyle? He said, it's very nice. Where? Can I have the address, the name of the stylist? And we all take the name of that. We take our head, we walk there. We copy things. That is not the will of God for us. So I always tell people in church, a patient does not seek advice from a patient. The Bible says the blind cannot lead the blind. So the person you are seeking advice from needs advice. Are you listening? The person you are seeking advice from, how do you come into a church and then you are seeking advice from a patient? The one that needs healing. Do you know what I'm saying? Exactly. So, praise the Lord. That's why it sounds very harsh, but it's my job to tell you the truth. The third place we get our guidelines from society. Society tells you things, and society tries to influence you, make you conform to their own ideology. It's okay. If it's comfortable, it must be right. If it's okay with it, it must be right. Oh, listen, you cannot vote until you are 18, but it's all right if you can have sex before 18. Come on. Right? If you want it, go get it. But if you want to contribute to society through your voting, sorry, you got to wait for 18. But what about sex? Oh, 16. And if you are that desperate, 15. Can we push the laws and get it down to 14? But don't body vote until you are 18. Oh, that's very important. That's more important than sex. You can violate your body if you're at 16. That's all right for us. But no voting. Oh, no voting. But even when you are 17, we don't think you have the mental capacity and the mind to know who to vote for. But you can have sex. Does that make sense? You see? Societal influences. It's okay if it's good. Oh, you're an adult? You can do what you feel like doing. Dress how you feel like dressing. Expose what you feel like exposing. It's your body. You were born with it. You own it. It grew with you. Come on. Flaunt it the way you want. That's societal influences. But Jesus said if we are going to be his friends, we have to learn to do certain things. And we're going to be looking at all that throughout this month. But I want to talk to you about one area first. Proverbs chapter 3. And I quickly rush through from verse 1 to 10. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. I hope to do this. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Oh, I cannot begin to teach on that now. Jesus and the world is in the business of prosperity. The word of God that you obey will prosper you in every area. Okay? A message for another day. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. I will come back to this later on in the month. But verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Church, as friends of Jesus, we have to learn to trust the Lord. As friends of Jesus, I have, the next verse in that John 15, 16 says that, listen, I you didn't choose me, I chose you. We have to learn to trust the Lord in every area of our lives. It says, and lean not on your own understanding. The English word trust in Hebrew means be confident, be sure, be bold, be secure, be careless, if you will, and have hope. That's what he's saying. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let me ask your neighbor, do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? Interesting. The Bible says there, one key word stood out with me when I was studying this. It says careless. You know, sometimes there's a way you trust the Lord, it looks as if you are careless. I mean, and the area I can best bring this home, because we are Bible-believing church. We believe in tithing, we believe in sowing. Is that not careless? How do you say, what I have is not enough, but I will need to pay a tithe? That kind of trust. What I have is not enough, but I want to share the little I have. What I have is not enough, but I need to give. Careless abandonment. When we talk about trust, please hear me carefully. You have to learn to trust Jesus. Now, trust is the foundation of any friendship. Trust is the foundation of any friendship. If you don't trust... How many of you would like to hang out with a friend you don't trust? Even me as pastor, I won't. I won't. We all want... Why? Because trust brings safety. Trust brings safety. If I can't trust you, we can't be friends. If I cannot trust you, and I don't have many friends, and I don't joke with the word friends, maybe because Jesus mentioned it. Praise the Lord. So trust is very important. So with your friendship with Jesus, you have to learn to trust. Trust to the point of careless abandonment. That's what he's saying. You give yourself wholly to what God. Now, I said in the first service, I need to qualify this, please. Because trust, when I say careless, I mean careless in your trust in what God has spoken to you or what he has revealed to you. Let me give you an example. For everything you are believing God for, that you are praying about, God will give you wisdom for it. So there is a wisdom to run your marriage very well. There is a wisdom to raise godly children. There is a wisdom to run your business. There is a wisdom to run your career. There is wisdom for everything. So the outcome or the result of every single prayer you pray is that God gives you the wisdom. Wisdom is like a key. For everything you pray about, God gives you a key. He gives you a way out. He gives you a solution. Are you listening? So when you pray, don't just say amen. When I pray, le broko soto brande rebaya, and the Lord, what can I do now? What do I need to do now? What do I need to do now? That's how I lead the church, by the way. What do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? Then he gives me a way out. Amen? So let me use the testimony about our PR. It was a burden in my heart. Because I believe that the church should be resourceful, should resource itself. And I don't like spending money. In fact, let me say, I don't like spending church money. Oh, man. I don't like spending church money. Seriously. I don't like. I don't enjoy it. Right? Before your church goes out and spends, we have looked around and we have said, Lord, where is the man that you have sent to us to help us here? Where is the man? Where is the woman? Where is the man? Where is the woman? If we can't find, they will then say, let's go out to the open market. So, when we couldn't find, we were looking to pay somebody for PR, and we said, Lord, we need to get this thing done. The world needs to, we are the light of the world. But what point is a light when it is hidden under the bushel? You told us that. So what we do in this house must be magnified. But how will it be magnified when there are no skills? And then God answered us. Do you understand? So the evidence that God has heard you is that he gives you a wisdom key. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't go and jump off the plane without a parachute. Mm-mm. Don't do bungee jumping without ropes. You will so die. Yeah. Are you listening? Don't sit down in your house and not pay your mortgage. You will be homeless. They will come. They will kick that door down. They will throw you out. The bank will take that thing and they will pursue you with this. If you don't pay your telephone bills, BT will cut it. I'm telling you, your phone will not ring. Faith, I'm telling you. You don't try that. If you go and pick, we went to play golf one time, and they said, while we were playing golf, I was looking for my ball in the bush. Then, told you, my golf partner, he said, Pastor, I said, he built, I said, nah, there they see snake last time. You will not read them for paper. I didn't wait. He said, but Pastor, but did not say if you take any deadly thing, it will not bite you. I'm not going to find out. I'm not going to find out. If you jump out of a moving car, you will. That is not the classes I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that I trust the Lord with all my heart that he will do what he says he will do. And my God can use anybody. My God can use anybody. That is a trust. So I'm talking about a fundamental, foundational trust. Trust in the Lord with all. I trust the Lord with all my heart. He said, my son, pack your stuff. Move to Cyprus. My wife was pregnant. I trust the Lord with all my heart. I bought a ticket. A return ticket. And I left my wife who was pregnant. And I didn't even wait to find out whether, you know, it was a long story for another day. And I flew out of the country. I trust the Lord with all my heart. Amen. 1994, December 16th. My son, your wife will come and join you here. After which you will move down to England. And then you will go and join her. I trust the Lord with all my heart. I tried to sabotage that plan. We will go together. No, Lord, she can't go and join her. We'll go together. For 4 years, I was fighting that word. It wasn't until I let go. I said, okay, she will go. I'll go and join her. Before I finally got my visa, I trust the Lord with all my heart. You cannot not trust Jesus and think you have him as friend. The day I know that you don't trust me, that is the end of the friendship. I have no business being there. Seriously. Trust is the basis, is the foundation of any genuine friendship. The day I know that you don't trust me, it means that, what are we talking about? Nothing. There's nothing to say. Because there's no trust. There's nothing between you and Jesus if you don't trust him. You won't keep a friend you don't trust. He won't keep you if you don't trust. And God will meet you. He believes in you. So God will always come through. We trust the Lord. The second mistake we make sometimes when it comes to trust is that we, rather than trusting God, we trust the things and people God uses. Are you listening? So God uses someone to give you a tenor. All of a sudden, your whole life is about that person. No. That man is just an instrument. Just an instrument. Your focus is on God. When God told me in 1996 that I will come to England, and I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. I have done one relocation. I can do the next. I can do another one. I trust you. And the moment we came in, there was a lady who was waiting for us, received my wife, housed them, took care of her. In fact, that lady weaned my son of diaper. She potty trained my son. She was waiting because God had prepared her. Amen? And when we came in, the husband didn't have a car. The husband came all the way to Heathrow, waited for me, and dragged my luggage all the way from Heathrow, dragged it to the home that we were staying in. I said, Lord, I thank you. I thanked him. But my gratitude was to God. Ingrates have no business being friends of Jesus. As my gratitude was to God. Praise the Lord. 1997, we're about to buy our first home. And God led us to Gravesend. We came and we followed God's instruction. We got there. We got in to look for the school. We looked at the school. The school was all Caucasian. My son was the only Afro-Caribbean in the school. My trust was in the Lord. Touch not my prophet and touch not my anointed and do what? My prophet no harm. The son of a prophet is a prophet. End of story. No razor will touch his head. No one is permitted to touch him. Lord, I trust you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We use trust in the Lord to raise our children. Teenagers are teenagers. Kids are kids. We use trust. And so we bought that home, and then we moved in. My mother-in-law came around, and when my mother-in-law was leaving, we're now panicking. I said, well, so what do we do? Wow, child care. The day before she left, we went to work, came back, and then she said that, oh, you have a child minder now. I said, how? Did you bring one from Africa? She said, no. She said, a lady came to drop some mails through the post. I opened the door, I saw her, and I engaged her in a conversation. Found out that her children go to the same school as yours. And I asked her, will you like to take care of my grandchildren? And she said, yes. I said, mommy, just like that. Mommy said, yes. In fact, she's coming by 5 o'clock today to come and meet both of you. I looked at my wife. I said, okay, we will find out. Yours truly. Her name is Debbie. Showed up and told us that we were just, you know, next door neighbor, and I came over, you know, the streets behind us, and they're just dropping by, and I met your mom and this and that. I said, seriously? And then grandma traveled the next day. Trust in the Lord. Amen. And then that's how. And the church started. Oh Lord, how will we grow this church? How do we grow this church? I'm not an experienced pastor. And God says, listen, I will make this come to pass. And then we waited on the Lord, and we're just thanking the Lord and doing what we know how to do. Well, and I've been, Lord, I've never pastored a church before. You mean people can actually come and hear me teach the word of God? No, you're kidding. Who is going to come? I spent all my years running around doing business and being a professional. Who come and listen to me? I have nothing to say. What am I going to say? Nothing to say. Every Sunday, petrified, scared. I'm telling you, my God, it's the least. This is the least. I wish I have his job. I love his job. You know, handle, organize things, get things done, you know. I like his job. Do admin, you know. I would love to be in the hand of the camera. I would like to do editing. I love things like that. But preach? No. Nobody. What am I going to say? God knows the number of times I went back to my pastor. Are you sure about this? Are you sure? Pastor, it's you I know. He said, look, you can do this thing. He said, just trust the Lord. I said, wow. I understand trusting the Lord. I'm on a journey here. Okay. If you said that's the key, that I can handle. Right? So we did that, you know. The bit I knew how to do was planning, organizing. I love that bit. I really love that, you know. And then we organize, you know, come up with a plan, a lunch plan, everything, the prayer plan. That background work, I love. I don't do front office. And then come the day, first Sunday, I came to preach. Limitation disengage. Then this bloke showed up. Showed up with his family, 5 of them, and then he sat on the front row seat. I'm using this to teach you how to trust the Lord. Now, I sat down that day, and then we were preaching, and all through the preaching, you know, I say something funny now, everybody laughs. I'll say something funny, everybody will laugh, ha. And then the more they laugh, the more he gets uncomfortable in his chair, and he did like that, just looking at me. And all through my head, I was hearing voices. Oh my God, you're just saying rubbish. Now this guy is not happy. This guy is not getting this message. Wow. And in my mind, I said, my goodness, of all people you sent to church, why this guy? Is this my examination now, Lord? This is my examination now? And why is he not laughing? Why would you send a miserable person to church on Sunday morning? Why don't you just stay at home? My goodness. You know, meanwhile, I was preaching, I'm telling you, my first message as a pastor. I was preaching and having this conversation in my mind. I started sweating. Can you imagine? You know how it is you speak. In fact, I was so traumatized. After that, I called all the ushers. I said, from today, I have to know who's sitting in front. Nope. You know, you have to surround me with people I know. In fact, around me and then the next role. Yeah? So I had to start using Jacob tactics to keep me within the comfort zone. Yeah. Oh, and as the church grew, every time a new priest shows up in the congregation, I freeze up. Pastor! So is God growing your church? Do you understand what I'm saying? After the service, he came and told me that, Pastor, he was following me up and down. I was doing everything on earth to avoid him. My goodness, this is my son here. Everything on earth to avoid. I want nothing to do with this guy today. I don't care what he's been thinking about. I've been speaking for the past how many minutes. He didn't laugh. He didn't look around. Now he wants to see me. No way. You're not seeing me today. I'm not available. You're not going to see me. I'm not going to talk to you. So I started walking away. And then I'll see him. Oh, I'll greet this person. I look at him. Greet the other person. So I started avoiding him in the service. It was a big hall, right? Until I couldn't avoid him anymore. All the way like a Robocop. It was just, you know. Where is the pastor? Where is the pastor? And then, when I couldn't do anything, I started packing equipment. You know, we used to set up and set down then. Started packing up equipment. And at some point, I stopped. I looked at him. He said, Pastor, I want to see you. I said, yeah. He said, while you were preaching, God told me to stay here and serve. Yeah. So, because all the while in my mind, I thought he was going to say something insulting. So, what he said the first time, I didn't hear him. So, I walked away and I, you know, keep him. Okay. So, he looked at me and then he started following me. I said, Michael, what is it? What's going on right now? So, I stopped the guy. I looked at him. He said, Pastor, did you hear what I said, sir? I said, I heard what you said. He said, I said that God said I should stay here and serve. I said, okay. All right. Okay, all right. So, what am I supposed to say? And if he was laughing during the service and doing high five and responding, then I say, oh, yeah, really, that's my friend. But he didn't do that. He didn't even warm up the relationship. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? That was giving me cold turkey right there. I said, no. So I said, yeah, I heard you. So I started, pulling cables and then I was spying on him. So what's he going to do now? I looked back. He went somewhere. Started helping us as well. Started packing. Huh. So I started looking at him. So he started packing stuff. 12 years ago. He's still here. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Now, in spite of my inadequacies, in spite of my challenges with myself, in spite of everything, God still has his mission at heart. And I thought I was okay. And when people started coming into church and church started growing, at one point, we still remember the numbers now when this happened. We were 25 women and 19 men. That was, yeah! I'm the biggest pastor in Kent. Come on and check me out. I preach about trust in the Lord. Yeah! Who is the boss here now? I couldn't. Until they started leaving. The first one left. Oh! The first one left. Left. I almost died. My wife was consoling me. Why will anybody leave this church, Pastor Femi? No. Seriously, tell me. What is the difference between this church and that church? Am I not preaching good? Is it help? What else? I have emptied my wallet. I have taught you everything. Wait. No. My wife said, calm down now. Right? I will frenzy, headache, body ache. And then you say, my wife will say, you need to take it easy because you are preaching again on Sunday. So we went all through that cycle. And the first one left, and the second one left, and the third one left. I said, Lord Jesus. In fact, at one point, I had to call and say, come, please, look, I just started this journey. Tell me, what is the matter? I'm okay for you to leave, but just tell me so I can know how to fix this thing. He said, nothing. I said, okay. He said, I'm looking for more power. I said, is that why you're leaving? He said, yes, I'm looking for more power. I said, okay, I understand that. I can identify with that. You want more power? You think there's not enough power here? I said, okay. If you find the power, please tell me, bro, because I can come and get some more of that power. Yeah? The Lord bless you. And then the Lord told me once again, keep your eyes on me. Trust me. This is my mission. I am the resourcer. I will resource this mission. I will bring people in. I will take people out. It's a mission. You stay faithful. You stay focused. You trust me. Praise the Lord. That's how I started trusting the Lord again. You see, as we got to a point, in that whole on that journey, when people come to me and say, Pastor, just to let you know that I'm moving on. Say, ah, praise the Lord. God bless you for all you have done. The Lord bless you. Praise God for all you have done. Praise the. But this train continues. And I realized over the years that for everyone who lives, right, bring someone better. Not that they are bad, but you bring someone better who will take the church to the next level. Because sometimes someone needs to leave so that the church can move on to the next level. For example, we won't be doing PR work now if Kuku didn't join the church. Are you listening? Wow. How? And maybe there are, so you've got to understand the dynamic. So I'm sharing all this with you for you to understand that you need to learn how to trust the Lord. The day they ask you to leave at work, don't die. Don't die. What if I had died the very first time? What if I had a heart attack the very first time the first family left the church? Will I see you now? Will I still be standing now? So why should I die now if somebody said they are leaving the church? Why? Praise the Lord. He said, as for me and my house, it's a mission field. The day they tell you, my friend, look, we are not wanted here anymore. You are sacked. Get up and start dancing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because I trust you. I trust you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The day the doctors give you a bad report, start dancing. You are the healer. You are the one who created created the medical equipment. You get doctors their mind. All the trust, all the goes to you, Father. Nobody heals anybody. But Jehovah is king. Praise the Lord. The day you are broke, say, devil, you can't mess around with me. No, 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 no. This month, no, 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 no. My God shall supply all my needs. You cannot intimidate me with lack. I know, I trust, I am with Jesus. I trust this friendship. He can't watch me lack. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's how to live. You trust the Lord. Listen, there's no friendship without trust. So I need you to reevaluate your friendship with Jesus today and your behavior towards that friendship. Because I can tell, I'm a man. I don't have two minds. I don't have two heads. I don't know what you do in your close circle. I don't know. I am not responsible for your output. No. It says, be it unto you according to your faith. Do you have faith? I don't know. I'm just a preacher. Will you do what I just said? I don't know. I'm just a preacher. I'm a messenger. I just teach you. Whether you want to do, whether you want to experience, it's totally up to you. But I want to advise you, choose well. Choose well. Trust this friendship. Trust it. Do not live by your own understanding. And I'll talk about that next week. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Come on, clap if you want to clap. We give the glory to Jesus. Give him all the glory. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless you. Today we make a commitment. We say we trust you. We trust your friendship. We trust our relationship with you. Lord, today we make a commitment to draw our guidelines from our relationship, from the Word of God. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for making us your friends. Thank you because we did not choose you, but you chose us first. To you we give all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.